We signed a new sponsorship here this week with GBMC, which is where my brother was born, and it's the community hospital right in the neighborhood where my radio station is in Towson. Now they have wings in all sorts of places, and I'm going to get you a GBMC shirt to wear because I didn't even really think, like, you're sort of the injury report captain, you know what I mean? And it's not even like injury reports, but like I've got to get one of the reasons I'm doing this is men's health issues, me getting a checkup, me getting over to seeing my doctor, telling a lot of stories and issues and things like that after we talked about, colonoscopies and different things like that. So I got to get you on that. So GBMC is our newest sponsor, so I'm going to work that with you. But I got to say this, the wrestling thing, this is like a sort of a Wayne's World. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. We're going to move from baseball to wrestling real quickly
I mean, SummerSlam was
because
this weekend anyway, so go ahead.
you have anything you want to say about SummerSlam? Yeah.
No. I mean, it was good, but nothing from a historic standpoint that you would interest you. Although John Cena lost the title and he's actually on his retirement tour right now. Although I don't know if it's like
You
a
mean the
Kiss
Today Show
retirement
host,
tour.
that guy?
Today
Yeah.
show.
Yeah, he's always on the Today Show, John
I
Cena,
mean,
with his
John's,
muscles.
yeah, you hear he voices a ton of commercials too. I mean, I hear his voice on commercials all the time. It's hilarious. But sorry.
So, you and I got into it about Hulk Hogan, right? And I found my ticket stub from the first time I saw Hulk wrestle at the Capitol Center. It was the first time I ever went to the Capitol Center. Seminal moment in my life. Not as good as Kwame's nasty theme song, and you can listen to that here this week, which was a lot of fun too. But I went to the Capitol Center, and Hulk was a heel with Classy Freddie Blassie, who I also channeled earlier here with some pencil neck geek comments for the ownership of Major League
The
Baseball.
Hollywood fashion plate. Classy Freddie Blassie. There you
There
go.
was an interview I found on YouTube that was the promo shoot for that match. It was shot March 1st, 1980. The match was March 8th. Backlund and Hogan wrestled at the Spectrum. And there's a lot of video. There's a video of that because they had house video at the Spectrum, and there's pictures. There's a Backlund Hogan picture that was up at the Capitol Center for years that I found that I shared. They're wearing different trunks. That way I know it was a different, but they only wrestled two or three times. You can look it up, bad guy. And I don't know how this happened and the timing of this, that you and I went after the Hulk Hogan thing and what a scumbag he was and how much he meant to you. And we went through after his death, and it's on my timeline now. We didn't even talk about him selling out the Saharan thing and, what happened on television with Superstar Graham that I learned later. But I watched the Superstar Graham Vice. A Dark Side of the Ring. Now that's my era, right? I was at the Civic Center the night Superstar Graham pinned Bruno. Last night Bruno held the championship. My parents, I think my mother might have cried that night. That's how much she loved Bruno. And I'm 9 years old. I didn't know Kevin Eck quite yet, at that point, but we were about to get into that period of time. And Superstar Graham was a star for a year and then canned. And then this Dark Side of the Ring, you told me to be very sad. It was his kids, just all of it. I remember when he went to the Orient and came back, and like I remember all of that about Superstar Graham. But the thing that I lost, that I tried to explain to my wife, who was more Hulk Hogan, but doesn't really remember Superstar Graham the way I do. She's a little younger than me, but liked her dad, didn't get into wrestling, but Cyndi Lauper brought her in, and she was in with Hulk Hogan with you, right? And she's a little older than you. The thing about Superstar Graham that blew my mind was Hulk Hogan stole his act. And
Others did too.
I sort of into, well, and they all stole, he
I mean,
Gorgeous
really,
George, right?
he came 10 years or two. Not even 10. Honestly, when you look at when Vince Jr. obviously bought from Vince Sr., took the company national. If Superstar Graham had come along 7 years later, he might have been Hulk Hogan. I mean, like you just think about it. I mean, Hogan, okay, he had, obviously he had his original run, wrestled Andre at Shea Stadium. He was the heel. He went off and did Rocky III. Vince Sr. was ticked about that, like, because Vince Sr. was still very much, hey, kayfabe, we got to protect all that. He didn't want his wrestlers being movie stars, right? I mean, he wanted them selling out the Garden 4 times a month or whatever it was. And so like Hogan like had that whole thing, and but then he came back to WWF, and that was Vince Jr.'s guy, and the
But
rest is history.
to
But
me,
yeah,
the thing that
Superstar
was
Graham was that
missing
guy.
from the Graham piece would have been what Hulk Hogan's interviews look like as a bad guy in 1980. It was this sullen, dark, tough guy, no talkie. He had no on-camera anything. And then even like I go back and look at the older AWA, and I've never seen a Hulk Hogan documentary, or nor do I know that I even care about it, because I cared about Superstar Graham to the point where like you saw how pathetic it all was, and the drugs and what they do to you, like just all of it, right? Saharan, just all of it, the Phil Donahue show. But the part that was missing for me that connected the dots was the fact that Hogan died, and I went and watched the interview of what Hogan looked like on the set with Freddie Blassie, who did all the talking for him, and how McMahon said, basically, watch Superstar Graham and just do what he does. Just do what he does. And when I was in the car with my wife, and she was driving, and we were eating one of these delicious donuts that I'm going to feature as part of my 27 favorite things to eat. I had to go out and make sure it was still good. You got to have 50 donuts in order to make the 27, top 27 list for me this month. But I was explaining to my wife, who didn't know Superstar Graham, to channel him and say, Wiz, let me tell you, brother. Let me tell you, brother, we're coming to Baltimore, brother. And how that became, let me tell you something, McMahon, brother. And like the comparison of that and what Hogan looked like before and was trained up, like no wonder Graham lost his mind watching his act be done. Like it would be like Jerry Coleman taking my act and like literally playing the nasty themes, somebody else doing it, and trying that Bobby, whatever his name is, like taking my act and me having to sit and watch it from the outside. Cassie kind of has my act with the Ravens right now, so does Rob Long. But like in a funny way, I never, as an adult, pieced together how screwed up that must have made Superstar Graham, and the drugs and the violence and just all of this back hurting, like all of that that goes into being a wrestler. But that Hulk Hogan really stole his act was it's something that I missed at when we talked about Hulk Hogan's act, as much as I missed, a lot of the more tawdry stuff that he did. I mean, the sex tape part and like all that. We didn't even go through any of that when he died, just the part that he was a stolen act on all of it, on top of the Superstar Graham thing that happened right in front of me, and I never acknowledged it until I'm 56 years old and they're both dead.
Who's the nature boy?
Buddy Rogers, baby.
Ric Flair adopted plenty for Buddy Rogers. The strutting, the kind of the style, the nickname, figure four leg lock. Wrestling is that business. I mean, it absolutely is. There's a wrestler right now, LA Knight in WWE, who I would say, and this is simplistic. Obviously, he's not exactly the same, but I see elements of The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin in his act. I mean, I really do. Like, it's kind of like a
Everybody
blended.
did a Sergeant Slaughter turn, right? I mean, anybody
So
that did
like,
military,
I mean,
right?
I see it as nothing egregious from Terry Bollea in that. I think it's he was told to do that, and that's kind of how my point is with Superstar Billy Graham. Just the shame of it really is that he didn't come along. Like it wasn't like 10 years later when his prime was, because you look at it and think about it, and the Vice special covered it, where look, Bruno was beloved, but there was no pomp and circumstance about Bruno. Bruno, like, tough guy, Italian, like everyone
All
loved him,
business, yeah.
but it was all business. There was no, there's no theme song or anything like that, right? I mean, it was very, but that's what your world champions were. That's why when Graham won, the idea was you have a heel transitional champion, and then Bob Backlund, who was as boring of a baby face as you'll find. I mean, like the Bob Backlund that we saw years later in WWF was way more
Well,
interesting
I
than the
think
Bob.
the old man believed that's how you got the heat
Right.
on the heel.
That's kind of how it was back then.
Make the
But
good guy so friggin' howdy doody or so
yeah,
beloved
I
that the
just.
bad guy kicking him in the nuts would bring everybody back for the steel
Sure.
cage match.
Sure. Exactly. So from that standpoint, again, if Superstar Graham, if he came along in the mid-80s rather than the mid-70s, I mean, man, you're talking about a game changer right there. I mean, for what
I'm
he
just saying,
was.
for any of those really
Oh,
charismatic
yeah.
wrestlers, right? Whether it
Oh,
was Dusty Rhodes or Ric Flair or, Jake the
yeah.
Snake or
And does and by the way,
Macho Man, that
Hogan,
flamboyance.
I never heard Hogan. I'm
Jesse the
not.
Body Ventura was doing Hulk Hogan first,
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
Jesse Ventura was took Graham elements.
Right.
Hogan also talked. He even talked. Dusty Rhodes was so much of an influence of that. Again, Dusty was another one. And Dusty, look, Dusty had immense success. But again, if Dusty's prime had come 10 years later, he might have been what Hulk Hogan was for taking the WWF national and all that, right? I mean, because Hogan talked about Hogan said when he first started, like he wanted to be Dusty Rhodes. So I mean, that's kind of I heard him give that interview, and
Well, I
that,
mean, the American dream became the
yeah.
American idol,
So
right?
my point with that is I don't think
Austin
it.
Idol was doing that at the time. Yeah, so
Yeah.
like, yeah, I mean,
So like,
I get it. They were all
all
trying to be
wrestling,
Billy Graham at
everyone
that
is.
time.
Right, and everyone does this. There is rarely, and I say this as someone who's been a wrestling fan for 4 decades now. Like literally, I'm going to be 42 in October. I really started watching wrestling when I was two. I mean, you can ask my mom. Like I could name all the Orioles and all the wrestlers, right? I mean, that's how it was for 2 and 3 year old Luke Jones, right? Probably says something about who I am today, but I digress. But that was everyone. Picks and chooses. Everyone steals a little bit, adapts a little bit, takes from that. I mean, finishing moves. Now, it's gotten more athletic and frankly, way more risky now as far as what these guys do from an athletic standpoint and girls. SummerSlam, you asked me about SummerSlam. The absolute sickest thing I saw in terms of someone taking a bump, that's when, think of it as a stunt for people who aren't wrestling people, was Candice LeRae, who was managing one tag team in this big ladder match that they had. It was like six different teams involved. She crashed through a ladder and I kind of held my breath, like I put my hands on my head, like, oh my gosh, like, is she okay? So it speaks to what the women do now today. But again, there's all copying. It's cyclical. There's copying. There's never anything that's, or rarely is anything really truly original. And yeah. Hulk Hogan, I'm guessing if he were still here in Truth Serum, he'd say, yeah, of course I copied off of Superstar Graham. You see how popular he was in 1977 and 78? I'd be crazy not to. So, and
But
with
in
some of the,
1980, he didn't have that act, is the
well,
interesting thing. And he turned that act into a good guy act.
yeah, well, sure. And look, some of that is also, go back and look at these wrestlers. I mean, they're performers, right? I mean,
Sure.
that's what they do. Some of my all-time favorite, Rob, go look at a Rock promo from his first year when he was Rocky Maivia. I mean, it makes you want to like hurl. It's so cheesy
Bad
and like,
acting, yeah.
yeah, just so bad. And he became one of the greatest talkers of all time. Flair's a great one. If you can go find some really old, like really old Flair stuff, he wasn't the great talker that he became. I mean, the guy that you think of as like the epitome of what a cool heel is, he couldn't talk in his earliest years. That's a tough skill. So when you're trying to develop that, of course you're going to copy off the Superstar Grahams and the Dusty Rhodes of the world because they're so great at it. I mean, literally these kids today that are coming up in the business, they're watching old tapes of The Rock or old tapes of Flair or old tapes of Stone Cold Steve Austin. They'd be crazy not to. I mean, the whole business is not about being the best wrestler. It's not about being the champion or any of that. You know what the business is about? Getting over. That means you're popular. If you're a bad guy, the fans hate you. If
Get
you're a good
heat,
guy,
baby.
the
Get some
fans
heat.
love you. It's all about getting over. If you're over, Then the money comes, then the titles come, then the merch comes, all that. So yeah, Superstar Graham was fantastic at that, and Hulk Hogan and probably 50 other guys absolutely stole his act. But that's why, as I said, it's a shame he was ahead of his time. I mean, he absolutely was. And hey, the WWF, if they had kept the title on him longer, I mean, who knows? Maybe they would have gone national more quickly than they did. I don't know. I mean, Vince Sr. was obviously part of the old guard, which was like the mafia, and they all tried to take care of each other, even if they didn't really trust each other. You know, it was very much like a, you know, they lent out Andre the Giant was lent out elsewhere. They bring in Dusty Rhodes for a run at MSG. I mean, it's a totally different world than what it is today. But yeah, that's you saying that. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised by that at all. And again, you can find a numerous other guys that did that, just like the Ultimate Warrior, you know, elements of him, he copied off of Hulk Hogan, right? I mean, it's
Well,
like
Sting is in that same, right? Yeah, I
Sting, no
got you. Yeah.
question. So yeah,
All
it's
right.
fun, but yeah, I mean, it's very much a business of, you know, you have these full circle moments where you just kind of see these guys. It's like, oh yeah, you could tell he liked that guy, you could tell he was a big fan of that guy. And it's just, you know, it's fun because there are lots of different styles. And but I'm glad you checked that out. I this past season of Dark Side of the Ring, I thought the Graham Superstar Graham one was probably the best one out of the season.
Well, I'm waiting on the Billy Joel doc. I did get a chance to watch the Ghislaine Maxwell piece on Netflix, which was just unbelievable. Just like my guest Barry Levine last week, he's written a couple books on it. It was unbelievable. I'll just say this on the wrestling thing. I think I've only said this to you one time, and I maybe it was even off the air when we were rooming together, chasing football or baseball or something. But when I was like 10 years old, Channel 13, it's either Klaus Wagner or it was Randy Blair, had a write-in kids thing, write-in to meet your hero, meet, you know, and tell us in 25 words or less why you want to meet your hero. And I wanted to meet Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. And I
You
tell
and
you
many
what, I
others.
went my whole lifetime. I don't think I ever really met Dusty. And I feel like I may have been in a room at one point at like a Hall of Fame or this or that, where he was actually in the room. And I, that would have been a big deal for me had I ever done it. And I don't know why I didn't do it. I probably had a million opportunities. I mean, Flair and I had real face to face when I was a young reporter. I never met Hogan. Superstar Graham, I never met. I think there was a point where like some of these guys may have called in. Now, like Bruno called in, did the show several times with me. But Dusty Rhodes, to me as a 10-year-old, of that I wanted to, not Brooks Robinson, not Johnny Unitas, not even Sisto Lescano, although now that I reconsider, at that point in my life, Dusty Rhodes was as big a hero to me as Hulk Hogan was to you, right? I
Yeah,
guess, right?
and Dusty to this day has such, I mean, Cody Rhodes, his son, is just won the WWE title back, right?
Former
He won it,
Stardust, right?
won
Yes.
it. Yeah, exactly. Just and
Or
Dustin,
Goldust, Stardust, not
no,
Goldust.
Goldust is Dustin, who is
All right.
still wrestling in AEW. Actually,
Okay.
just had a run as their version of the Intercontinental title. Yeah, he just had for a brief time. But the thing about Dusty that was amazing, and you know, because you said it, so I'll give you 30 seconds on Dusty. He did everything. I mean, he was a wrestler, promoter, booked. Worked in NXT, which is WWE's developmental. The last years of his life, he was working, training the future stars, right? I mean, so many of the WWE talent today that's on the younger side, but has been around the last
He
10
and
years or
Triple
so.
H too would have that
Yeah.
reputation through
So like,
years, right?
right. I mean, Triple H runs the creative for WWE at this point. He is Vince in that way, in 2025. But yeah, Dusty just had such an amazing mind for the business. I mean, great in the ring, great talker. I mean, even with his lisp, I mean, that would have been a deterrent for any other superstar. He leaned into it. That was part of the charm of Dusty, right? I mean, you know, his hard times promo is
You're making
one.
me want to go watch a stand back
I mean,
powder
his hard
commercial.
times
Let me tell you
promo,
about pain.
you think about like the. And this would be fun for me to do just as an exercise sometimes as I'm just sitting here with my stream of consciousness going. But I think of the all-time great promos. His Hard Times promo is one of those gold standard ones that any wrestler at any point in their career would dream of cutting a promo along those lines, right? I mean, CM Punk For him, 14 years ago, it was the pipe bomb promo that kind of took him into a new level in WWE. I mean, but Dusty, I mean, he
All I
just,
had in my air was Piper's Pit, man.
yeah, Piper was one of the all-time great talkers as well, right? I mean, the Rock. I mean, you go down the list. Flair was amazing. I mean, you go watch those Flair promos from the mid-80s, and it's like, I mean, this guy's it's a
Well,
different.
but the managers were the real stars in Mr. McMahon's world doing the talking. Vince McMahon, George the Animal Steel couldn't talk, right?
Oh yeah,
So,
I mean, you had Captain Lou, you had Freddie Blassie, you had the Grand Wizard. I mean, you had that Bobby the Brain comes in a couple years later. I mean, yeah, because that's and you still have a little bit of that, like Paul Heyman's.
stable.
Paul Heyman still does some of
Oh,
that.
dude, this is way more fun than Last Place
Oh, I
Baseball,
know,
isn't it?
exactly, dude. It's so funny because I will have people come up to me like that. They'll listen to us at, like when we break off on a tangent and talk about wrestling. And they're like shocked that I'm in the wrestling. I always tell, like, I've said this to you, like, other than my faith and my family, you know, beyond that, there are two things that I've really truly cared about my entire existence from the time I can remember being a little boy till today, baseball and professional wrestling. I mean, football, I didn't like until I got a little bit older. And obviously, Baltimore didn't have a team till I was 13 years old. So, you know, it's fun. It's fun. And I, as I get older, I find a lot of aspects of life are more imitate wrestling a little more than we'd like to believe. I think kayfabe is something that is actually pervasive in a lot of ways, you know. But you know, but all kidding aside, it is a great form of entertainment. And some of the names that we've spent a few minutes here talking, I mean, it's fun. There's no doubt. And anyone who is anyone in wrestling today, generally speaking, they'll talk about, I mean, Hogan's an easy one, but Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, a superstar Billy Graham, going back, you know, might be a couple generations in between, but you look at these types and, you know, as much as the athletic part has evolved to something that someone that liked wrestling in the 70s wouldn't even recognize because it's just so much more athletic and risque and all that. I mean, these guys are literally risking breaking their neck multiple times a match in many cases, but it still comes down to
The athleticism, Vince, the
entertainment, and are
athleticism.
you over? Because you can do all the flips and all that, but if the fans don't care about it, they'll like it for the 5 minutes or the 10 minutes that you're out there, but then they forget about it right away. Dusty, you know, the elbow drop, whatever, he made people love him forever because he was that good. And you know, same with Flair, same with superstar Graham, who, like
Andre
I
didn't
said,
have to say anything. Ha
Andre was just amazing. I mean, it's yeah. I
Oh,
mean, I'm glad you at least brought up Andre because he was truly, as much as everyone talked about Hogan, and yes, Hogan
King. He was the
was this
draw.
global store. Andre at his peak might have been the most popular human being on the face of the earth because he toured in Japan. He toured all over the world. Unlike most of these wrestlers who are mostly United States, North America, maybe they do a tour in Japan every now and then. Andre went everywhere and he was beloved everywhere.
Well, he was a large man.
He was
Still, the greatest story ever was Phil
drinking
Jackman
stories.
drinking beer with Phil. I'm telling you, Phil Jackman went drinking with Andre the Giant, and he lived to tell, lived a long time.
I recently heard a story, and this is 30 seconds, because I know we're wrapping here, but
Is it better than Wade Boggs? No, I'm
Jake,
sorry.
it's along those lines. Jake Roberts was with Andre, and I think they had a flight. No, it was a drive that was only like, it's like a 2 hour drive, hour and 40 minutes, something like that. And wrestlers being who they were in those days, they're drinking while they were on the road, not condoning that part of it. But Jake Roberts is like, Andre, how much you want? You know, you want a six pack, you want 12 pack, whatever. He goes, case. And Jake's like, Andre, we're only going to be on the road for like an hour and 20 minutes, or whatever. He goes, oh, two cases. He said, Andre drank everyone, and Jake drank a six. Jake, obviously, his story is well documented as far as his issues with substance abuse, drinking, drugs, all that. Jake had a six pack. I don't know if he was driving. They may have been flying. I could be. Anyway, point is, Andre drank two cases of beer, and Jake said the most amazing thing is he didn't have to use the
I
bathroom
was going
over
to
that
say, how many
time.
times he pee?
He's like, how? He's like, was his bladder the size of a basketball or something? And so I heard Jake Roberts, and that story I had heard a couple of years ago, but it popped up on my timeline again here recently. But yeah, John, Andre's drinking escapades were the stuff of legend because, well, when you're talking about, a real life giant, he's 500 pounds. He could put away his booze, that's for sure.
Behind the Chesapeake restaurant, there's an alley, and Phil Jackman told me about it. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We usually talk baseball or football. I promise we will. Appreciate everybody following our 27th anniversary. We're going to be out having some fun. We're going to be at Beaumont on Thursday with our friends from the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving stuff away all month long, including really good advice on good stuff you should go eat. It's Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.